The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Vital Lessons with your host, Amy Dufresne. It's time to clear away the clutter holding you back in life and inject more joy to keep going. Remember your big dreams? Remember when life was magical and the world was full of fun and freedom? Well, it's time to take back the life you love and deserve. We'll show you how to keep going and create the life you crave. Here's your host, Amy Dufresne.
Hello, and welcome to Vital Lessons, feeding your body, mind, and soul. I'm your host, Amy Dufresne, and I am delighted that you have joined us today. Today actually marks our final live show here on Voice America in 2013. Went by quickly. So I just wanted to take a minute and take the opportunity to express my deepest gratitude for those of you who are listening and have listened over this last 13-week journey. That has gone incredibly fast. And we have had over 6,500 downloads in just 1 month. That's just looking at 1 month from all over the world. The US, the UK, China, India. That's just to name a few. And it seems our largest following of Vital Lessons is in Texas. So thank you, everyone. And thank you, Texas. I'm kind of blown away. I didn't know what to expect going into this, and I'm glad you're getting a lot out of it, and you're learning some vital lessons. I know I've learned some vital lessons with the guests that we've had on. So wherever in the world that you're listening, I truly appreciate you, and I am so grateful to have you with us today. I also want to take a brief moment to thank my guests over the past weeks who have all taken time out of their super busy schedules to spend some time with us here and share their vital lessons for living a life that they love. And that includes delicious food, which guests Meadow Lynn and Karen Devlin shared on releasing restrictions and dropping deprivation. And we talked about mindfulness with Shamash Aladina, living a spirit-led life with Heather Strang, and the importance of self-compassion and self-kindness with the lovely Holly Holden, who joined us from the UK. Now, these interviews and so much more, like decluttering, gratitude, even manifesting with the moon, are all available to you, and they're here on the Vital Lessons Show homepage. So if you missed one, please check them out. For the shows that really resonate with you, anything that I've mentioned here right now, and maybe you haven't had a chance to listen to them, I strongly encourage you to download them, either the MP3 or iTunes. Sooner rather than later. I'm not sure how much longer they'll be up on the site, but they are all there now for your listening pleasure. So if you need a break from the Christmas music, you can listen in while you're doing your holiday cooking or you're baking cookies or while you're wrapping your gifts. And last week we had Judy Keating, who joined us to share her tips on creating your best year yet. And many other practices which she shared with us, I'll be putting into practice in my own life. So I highly recommend that. She had some great tips on vision boards. So whether you're new to vision boards or you just want to take your vision boards to the next level, Judy had a lot about to talk about vision boards and also some other traditions that she puts in place in the new year to make her new year the best yet. So as I said, this is the last live show of the year. And we are now going on hiatus. So to keep up to date on when we go live once again, as well as other events and guidance to get you going and keep you going into the best year of your life, you can join the Keep Going Movement by joining the community at thekeepgoingmovement.com. Very easy to remember. So to thank you for joining, you'll also instantly receive my free checklist, 9 winning ways to keep going even when you don't want to or don't think you can. And again, that's available to you at thekeepgoingmovement.com. Okay, so let's dive into today's show. For our last show, we are turning the tables, and today I'm the one going to be interviewed. And I chose my guest very wisely. This guest has been instrumental in helping me push past fears and publish my first book, Keep Going From Grief to Growth. My success coach, and I'm pleased to say she's my friend as well, Melissa Gault. To give you some information on Melissa, she was named by Forbes magazine as one of the top 20 women of influence on Twitter. Melissa Gault knows business marketing both online and offline. She has been working with women in business for over a decade as one of America's leading success coaches and the founder of Expert Interviews. Melissa takes clients on an exhilarating process of self-discovery that results in businesses transformed and lives reshaped. She mentors you out of being a best-kept secret and into being well-known and in demand by your hot and buying target markets. Success is about sharing your gifts, talent, and expertise with those who will appreciate and compensate you handsomely. Melissa provides the systems, the tools, and the strategy to get you there. So welcome to the show, Melissa.
Thank you, Amy. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm so delighted you could be here. I appreciate it so much. You were so instrumental in helping me get this out. So I know firsthand your work is amazing. It is an exhilarating process.
It is an exhilarating process. You're absolutely right. And having had the privilege of reading your book and knowing a little bit about the backstory, tell me what inspired you to write the book.
Well, the book is about my journey after my first husband, Ben, passed away unexpectedly after a few months after my father passed away from a long battle with cancer. And after Ben's passing, a colleague of his said to me, well, you know, you had such an awesome love story and you're a really good writer. You should really write a book about it. And I was kind of deep in the state of grief and I kind of went, oh, like it seemed like a good idea. 'Cause I wanted to remember everything. I wanted to write it down. There's when you lose someone, there's always that fear that you're going to forget. So that resonated with me. But I did not do anything to it. I would tell people, yeah, I'm going to write a book about this. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And it wasn't until last year I got remarried. And my husband said to me, you know, we had a really cool love story and you're a really good writer. You should write a book about it. I'm like, yeah, I think I need to write another book first, but that's a really good idea. So I started to write the book. Between him and another coach that I was working with, they had the belief in me, and I think sometimes you need other people like you to just remind you that you can do it. Mm-hmm. And I got that reminder, and I started on November 1st of last year and gave myself a month. And by the end of the month, the first draft was done. And we went to publishing in January. Yeah.
Wow. And it's funny because when I read your book, I did find it to be a real love story. Mm-hmm. But it was two-pronged because it was both a love story with your late husband and then with you as you journeyed through grief. And it led you to redefining and reinventing yourself. And I love the title. Of course, I'm attached to the title because we had an early conversation about that. You were originally going to call the book Sunrise to Sunset.
Yes.
And I suggested that perhaps it sounded a little bit too much like a Fabio romance novel.
Oh, I remember that so well. Thank God I ran into you because we met unexpectedly, went out for a drink, and then I'm like, hey, this is my book. Sunrise to Sunset, and there's nothing like someone just being completely honest. Well, that sounds like a Fabio novel. I was like, oh, that's not really what I'm going for.
But we were able to rework it, and we reworked it from the inside out, and I honestly think I must have been channeling Ben somehow when I did that, because what came out with Keep Going From Grief to Growth makes so much sense. It tells you exactly what the book does. And then when I got to read it, I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah. Ben actually showed you how to get going in your life, and now you can show others how to keep going. So yeah. Your book, to me, is the perfect inspiration for anyone who's faced a loss in their life, whether it's the loss of a spouse, a family member, a friend, a job, a home, or their health.
Right.
You know, you really nailed it because it's about resilience and moving through that grief to growth. But when you were writing this, Amy, were you thinking specifically about widows?
I was not. I felt like this book had been festering in me for the last 5 years, and it needed to get out. It just needed to get out. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way before, like just something, it had to get out. It was kind of screaming inside of me to get out. And I thought, like, as I was writing it, it's so interesting because, like, my business I was running at the time was all about raw food and healthy food, and I was teaching classes and working one-to-one with clients. And in October of last year, like, all the clients dried up. I couldn't even get people to do a one, like, no one was even interested in, like, a free consultation, which is just very odd. It just happened. Like, so everything else came to a standstill. And when I started writing it, I was like, who on earth is going to want to read this? Who cares about my love story? Who cares? Mm-hmm. Like, other people have lost people. Like, why is my story any different? And it's not different. It's the same for a lot of people. People can relate to it on some level. And I think that just, there was some higher power guiding me. So someone needed to hear the message, and perhaps many people need to hear the message.
Your story is really quite unique, though, because especially the way you wrote it, you begin each chapter with a quote from a song, and you're ranging from Maroon 5 to Michael Jackson, from Joni Mitchell to Christine Aguilera, from Rob Thomas to Leona Lewis. Did you begin each chapter with the lyrics, or did you return to what you'd written so you could see the song?
I actually had a list of songs that had helped me heal since Ben's passing, and some of them are songs that we used to sing each other or that we really enjoyed together, a lot of the Rob Thomas songs. Christina Aguilera, Ain't No Other Man, is what we played at his life celebration as we walked the coffin down, and I used to sing that song to him, not very well, I might add, but I did sing that to him, and as I went through the grief journey and moved back, I was living in London and then moved back to the States, and these songs would pop up, and like the Michael Jackson song, there's a song named Ben. That song's probably older than me, but I had never heard it before. I had my Pandora on one day, and I'm in my new apartment in stateside and, you know, grieving. Just being in this, like, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? What do I want to do? And this song pops up on Pandora that's all about Ben. And, you know, it's the two of us. And I, you know, all of these songs just came at the right time. So I always kept a list of them. But as far as writing the book, I knew I wanted to include the songs because they had just helped me heal. And I think music is so powerful in helping people heal. And so I wrote the book from start to finish without the songs, and then added them in afterwards to come back to see which ones fit where and which lyrics kind of, because I didn't know where the story was going. I sat down on November 1st with a laptop on my lap and looked up and said, all right, Ben, what do you want me to write? Let's do this. I'm not doing this alone. And, you know, my fingers were just flying over the keyboard, and at the end of the month, it was done. We went through editing, but for the most part, like, it was all done.
Amy, whose decision was it to write it so that you had one chapter with, while you were with Ben, getting to know Ben, your life together, and then the very next chapter fast-forwarded to after Ben had passed, and then the next chapter you're back to with Ben, and then the next chapter you're back to after Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Whose idea was that?
I had always envisioned that when the woman mentioned, oh, you should really write the story because you had a great love story, that was kind of, I wanted to write it like that because that was my life now. Like, I'm in the present, but I kept reliving the past to kind of go back as a life preserver to help me keep going. If that makes sense.
It does make sense, but it's such an unusual way to do it. And I have to tell you, it makes it a very quick read, makes it very hard to put it down because you're traveling back and forth like that.
Right.
And it's a real page turner. I mean, I was frustrated because I started reading it late one evening and I looked at the clock and I'm like, oh, it's midnight and I have to be up early and I can't finish this tonight. So I would encourage any reader who picks up your book to please allow an evening or an afternoon and just experience your story in one glorious whole, because it will give them that impetus and that opportunity to keep going, because that's exactly what your book does. Every page you just continue. You're like, well, this is what you felt like, but this is where you are now and this is where you have to go. And it was a wonderful tug between the old and the magical and the wonder, and then the new and the unfamiliar and the scary and the alone.
Yeah,
really, really knocked it out of the ballpark. I mean,
thank you,
terrific.
Thank you so much. And so, the feedback coming back, it's funny. You know, people are like, I couldn't put it down. A lot of what you said, I've been getting feedback either through Amazon or personal messages. And one person said, I read it during my son took a nap for 3 hours, and I read it like I finished it before he woke up. And
perfect.
Yeah, that really like warms my heart. So
I
encourage you, like, and other people want to take their time with it, and I can understand that too. But I think, yeah, it is a quick read. I think we're all so busy, and it's just fun to kind of escape into someone else's life and then realize what you can do to put that into your own life.
Well, and you've also ruined this single woman from any guy being able to approach me without a healthy dose of romance, because you guys, it wasn't just a love story, but the romantic things, the creativity that you both displayed towards one another was phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a good story. I mean, it needed to be told. And there are other great love stories. And I've heard from people who go, thank you, it reminded me, you know, how much I love my husband. It reminded me, and even men. I had one man, which really surprised me. I mean, mainly it's been women who are getting back to me, and that I kind of expected. But even a few men who would say, you know, I read, one guy said to me, I read the thing on what was available on Amazon and it changed my life. He goes, now I have to buy the book, and I don't even buy books, but now I have to.
What an honor.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Now, you state that you learned 4 vital lessons from this life-changing experience. And one of the lessons in the book and one of the themes you kind of carry through is look for your rainbows. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to make you wait while we take a break.
Oh, wait. Really? Oh, right.
I am. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on Vital Lessons on the Voice America's Health and Wellness channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Make the most of your beautiful life. Listen to Ageless Living with Dr. Tong Li and co-host Kurt Wilhelm to gain tips on how to live healthier and happier, alleviate suffering, prevent disease, become more beautiful in body, mind, and fashion, and find peace, balance, and success in your life. Are you aware that every 3,500 calories that you eat above what you burn will put a pound of fat on your body? And running 1 mile only burns 200 calories? So portion size does matter, and migraines do have a cure. What is it? You'll have to tune in Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
If you have a loved one that is undergoing treatment for substance abuse or mental illness, you owe it to them and yourself to tune in to One Hour at a Time with host Mary Woods. This compassionate and educational talk show will help you help those that you love by better understanding their condition and their personal recovery process. Tune in every Monday at 12 noon Pacific time to One Hour at a Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Recovery begins this hour.
Have you ever noticed that modern medicine tends to treat symptoms rather than causes? As a result, people rarely experience true healing or a transformation from which the body emerges healthy, vibrant, and alive. On Healing From Within with John Robson, learn to harness the synergistic healing power of your body and mind while discovering and dissolving the actual causes of your emotional and physical pain. Tune in and start healing from within every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Vital Lessons with Amy Dufresne. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You can also send an email to info@amydufresne.com. Now, back to Vital Lessons, feeding your body, mind, and soul.
Welcome back to Vital Lessons. I'm Amy Dufresne, and if you are just joining us, I am here with Melissa Galt, and we have turned tables, and I am the one being interviewed today by lovely Melissa, and we left you with a cliffhanger over the break. So Melissa, I'll have you repeat your question, and I have enough time to answer it.
Well, I want to know, because you state that you learned four vital lessons from this life-changing experience, and one of them is look for your rainbows. What do you mean by that? What is my rainbow?
Well, okay, I'll tell you the story behind it. My father passed away, and we were taking care of him in, first he was in hospital and then in hospice and then his funeral and so forth. And he had always promised me that he would visit me in England. He lived in Michigan, and he said he would visit me in England to see our new home. He had been there for my wedding, but he had not been back since. And when my dad made a promise, he made a promise. He never, ever, ever, ever broke a promise to me. So we're on the plane coming back from Michigan, going into London, and I said mentally, telepathically to my father, look, I'm not letting you out of this promise just because you're not on the earthly plane. You're going to send me a sign, and it's going to be a sign that I know without a doubt, with absolute certainty that this sign is from you and that you made it to London and that you've seen it, you know, you're with me there. And I said this in my head throughout the plane ride, and I was with Ben, and he slept, and I'm saying this to myself. And then we get out into London. And of course, I'm looking around for a sign immediately. I'm like, all right, Dad, where are you? Looking around, we're getting our baggage. We're in luggage claim. Then we're riding in the cab home. Then we're home, and all this time looking around, looking for a sign. So I take a nap, and then we had tickets to see Matchbox 20 later that evening. So as we're driving to the Matchbox 20 concert, I'm looking around for the sign. Again, like telling you, come on, Dad, come on, Dad. And as we're driving, that I just kind of broke inside. I hadn't said any of this to Ben. I hadn't said any of this out loud. But inside, this verbal abuse is going on between me and myself. You're an idiot. Your father's dead. He's not here. Get over it. Get on with it. No one's going to send you a sign. There are no signs. Your dad is gone. And as I'm berating myself in my head, Ben says, oh my God, look at that rainbow, Amy. And it hadn't even been raining. But there was this bright rainbow in the sky. And I saw the rainbow and I was like, oh my God, it's Dad. And Ben was like, oh, okay. like, are you a little jet lagged? What's going on? That's a rainbow. But I just knew it was him. And I knew that that was what he sends me. And so when I say look for your rainbows, look for the signs. And look for this, because we all get signs. And maybe they're not always rainbows. Or maybe they are rainbows. Ben sends me butterflies. And I'll, you know, you'll see them if you look around. Ben sent me butterflies before I got married to Farouk. We were looking at the venue before we got married in this little park with the gazebo, and we were sitting there, and I got a little nervous. And I was like, maybe you can send me a sign that everything's like you're okay with this. And this little butterfly that no one else saw, Farouk was talking to the person who was going to marry us, and they didn't see it. And this little butterfly came down and like perched next to me, and I just knew. And then it flew, and I thought, oh, thank you, and it flew away. And that was it. And, you know, I'll get butterflies or rainbows. I asked Farouk to marry me. And after he said yes. And the next day, there was a triple rainbow in the sky. A triple rainbow. I've never even seen a triple rainbow before. And I was like, I think Dad approves. But there's always some kind of sign. And, you know, if you're skeptical, just say, look, you know, I'm open to receiving the sign. What, you know, and just let me know what it is, you know, let me know, like, without a doubt, like I had said to my dad, without a doubt, let me know, like, when I see this, give me absolute certainty that I know this is you. And when I saw that rainbow, it was like, there was no doubt in my mind that it was him. So that's what look for your rainbows looks like. And I've had clients who, you know, I've worked with them, and then they'll start seeing rainbows, or they'll start seeing, you know, they notice butterflies. They notice certain things. One client of mine was seeing rainbows like every day or every week, and she was getting a little, because she would see them even when it wasn't raining, but she'd see rainbows in the sky. And one day she said, I had to turn to the person that I was working with, and I kind of nudged her, and I looked up, pointed to the sky where I saw this rainbow, and I said, do you see something up there? And she said, yeah, that's a rainbow. So I just had to make sure she was seeing it too. So it's not going crazy.
Yeah.
It is. It's just like seeing the signs in the world of form. But we all are protected. Yeah.
It's also, though, fun because you're not a patient person by your own admission.
Yeah. I know. That's why I was looking as soon as I got off the plane. Where are you?
Yeah. You're like, I want the sign and I want it now.
Exactly.
I think most people, when they're looking for signs, the interesting part about it is you did it in a brilliant way because you got the sign, whereas I know in my case, I've asked for it, but then because I'm impatient, I forget that I've even asked, and so it might pass me by completely.
Yeah, you have to remain open. Remain open to it and say, you know, I'm ready, I'm open for it when you're ready, and just let me know. Like, make sure, I think if I wouldn't have said, like, make sure I know exactly what it is, because then I would have seen anything and looked, oh, like, the door opened. Dad must be here. You know, it just, you would have just been seeing signs everywhere. But, you know, when I said, let me know without a doubt what is a sign. So that's what I recommend for people. Because then they really start seeing things.
Yeah.
And things in the world of form. So they're not hallucinating or they're not delusional.
And the rainbow is a beautiful form.
It is.
It's a very hopeful form. Well, I have to say that I also loved in the book that you included your letters to Ben that helped you through that tough process of grieving. And I think that that activity in and of itself is a profound lesson to us all on one of the key ways to keep going. I mean, I really wish I'd known about that when I lost my mom when I was 24 years old. I think it would have really encouraged me in the healing process. And I want to say a special thank you for such a vital example of something simple, because anyone can do that to keep going and communicate their feelings about loss.
Yeah,
Do that regularly, like it looked like you did?
Yes, yeah. There were more journal entries, but I didn't put them all in. But I definitely put in, the ones I put in were very, because your emotions are all over the place. So I think it's really important to feel what you're feeling and then get them out. And getting them out on paper is very healing, because then they're out. Then they're out of you. They're not just kind of festering inside of you. And then it comes out when someone pulls out in front of you or cuts you off somewhere. And then all these emotions just kind of fly out. You know, they can fly out on paper. And then they start to dissolve. You know, the power behind them starts to dissolve. So you noticed on some of them, I'm much like, I love you and I miss you. And other things, I'm like, I hate you. I hate you for leaving me. You know, mm-hmm. Some of them I got very, I did not edit them. They're there how I said them. And they're all scrawled on my journal. And it was really healing. The first one that I wrote was a few days after. And it was because I so desperately wanted to talk to him. I just missed that so much. And, you know, him and my dad were my best friends. And they were the people that, they were my go-tos. You know, you go to talk to someone, like, those are the people that you talk to. And I had to keep reminding myself when I picked up the phone, I couldn't call my dad. It was just so bizarre, because that's who you call. You know, when the police came that day to tell me what had happened, they said, we have to call someone. You know, can we call your parents? And I was like, yeah. You know, I didn't have anyone to call. I was like, my dad just died, you know. And then they were asking, do you have, then the poor policemen, do you have a neighbor? I was like, my neighbors just moved away, the neighbors that we were friends with. It was like, oh dear. So it was, you know, it was a really tough time. I think, you know, I've obviously grown from it. I'm a much different person now. I think I'm an even better person now. And I'm able to open my heart more. Whereas it could have went the other way. But what I learned from Ben was that to be more open with people rather than hiding my heart away and only having those few people. And then when they're gone, you know, what do you do? But journaling was a very, very cathartic thing. So I highly recommend that to anyone, even, you know, if you've lost someone or you're going through a rough time, or just to see your progress. We are so hard on ourselves that we're, you know, we're making progress. And I mean, you know, this about me, Melissa, I was like, oh, I'm not doing anything. But this year I've published 2 books and had a radio show and done all this. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like I haven't done anything. And it's like, oh, so having that journal and just seeing your journey through it, it reminds you, it gives you that reminder that you need of, like, wow, you're doing it, and look how far you've come, and keep going.
Now, do you still journal every day?
I don't journal every day. It looks a little different now. I'll write things, and I'll do more, like, brainstorming and stuff, or write certain things down. I also keep a happiness jar. So Farouk and I have a happiness jar, and then whenever, like, something great happens, like, hey, my book is published, or we had this great dinner, we enjoyed this great wine, we'll, like, put it on a post-it note, or maybe we have, like, a cork from a bottle of champagne we shared, and we'll put that in our happiness jar. So then at the end of the year, we open up our happiness jar, and it's, like, just, it's filled. And with all these cool stuff that we've done over the year. Yeah.
That's very neat.
Yeah, it's very cool. So it's like, you know, if people think they don't have time to journal, like, just writing down what you're doing or saying, asking yourself, what's the best thing that happened to you today? And then put it in that happiness jar. There's always something to be joyful about. There's always some joy to have. And whether it's that you have clothes on your back or you're in shelter or you took a nice shower, it can be something so simple. Yeah, your toilet flush. Yay. Can you imagine? Like, when that doesn't happen, that is not fun. So, that's not good.
Okay, I'm going to keep that in mind. I've got something to put in my jar today.
It's true.
Oh, my goodness. Well, tell me, what are the 3 biggest qualities that you think you inherited from Ben? Because you really have achieved so many milestones that the two of you talked about, from that 10K, then the marathon, becoming a certified raw food chef and a soul coach. And these are incredible accomplishments, But I kind of want to know about the changes that you've made as a person. What are the three qualities that you think he passed on to you?
That's a really good question. I think one thing certainly is endurance. Because, and I allude to this in the book as well, it's like, I didn't want to keep going when he left. I was like, no. Like, come and get me. and get me. Take me with you. And I learned endurance. And I would always, we would go running. We were training for a 10K before he passed away and ended up doing the 10K on my own. And he kept saying, you can do it. And you can do it in this time. And I was like, can't do it. I don't think I can do it. And he would be running. We would go running, and I could never keep up with him. And I was always wheezing. I was far behind him, going as fast as I could, wheezing, feeling like I'm going to die. And then we would stop, and he'd go, well, why didn't you tell me that? Why didn't you tell me to slow down? And I'm like, I couldn't talk. I was like, I couldn't talk. So when I was training after he passed over, you know, my friend who was doing it with me was signed up for the 10K with us, said, I want to do it in his honor. I understand if you don't want to, but I'm still going to do it. And I said, no, I would like to do it in his honor as well. And I would go to the gym and I would start running and on the treadmill, and I would still see his face in front of me going, come on, come on. Cause he would always turn back, and then he'd like motion me to keep going. And I mean, still today, whatever I'm doing, I see his face like turning back going, come on, keep going, you know, keep going with the book, keep going with the show, keep doing this, like you're doing well. So I think endurance was a huge thing that I learned from him, because I think it helped me to keep going, but in a way at my own pace. So living my own life and being me, rather than, you know, he died and I kept trying to live his life for him. He didn't get to achieve these dreams, so I'm going to achieve them for him. So I'm going to get his dreams. We wanted to run the marathon, but it was really his thing. So I'm going to run the marathon, and then I'm going to do this. And then he wanted to do this with biking, and I wasn't good on bikes. So I was like, well, maybe I'll pass on that for a minute, but then I'll do the biking. You know, I wanted to achieve all of his goals. And then it dawned on me, who's going to achieve my goals when I'm gone? Like, we're all here to achieve the goals live the life that we want to live. And we're so often trying to live someone else's dream or someone else's expectation. And so I thank him because he helped me to see that being me was enough. And I could follow my own passion. And that took a really, really long time. And sometimes I still need reminders. But because you get caught up in something, you go, well, they expect that, or they expect that, so then I should do this and that. Well, it's time to stop shooting all over ourselves and start asking ourselves, where do we really want to be? What do we really want to be doing?
And how do we follow your own dreams?
Yeah, exactly. So on that note, we are coming up to another break, but we will be talking more about following dreams and following passions when we come back here on Vital Lessons here on Voice America's Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
How is your health? Do you want to know more about it? Every day there are new technologies, procedures, and healing techniques coming forward. To understand them, tune in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. Our guests come from different backgrounds in the fields of health and healing. We'll discuss new realities and modalities, from chiropractic to metagenics. It's all designed to improve your quality of life. Speaking of Health is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Cancer is not something to be taken lightly. But instead of being talked at by doctors, medical providers, and others, wouldn't it be nice to hear from a host who has worked at the Cancer Coalface for 38 years as a caregiver, supporter for 14,000 patients, and who has had the experience of having a life-threatening condition herself? You will hear the stories of survivors and other people who work in breakthrough cancer medicine. Navigating the Cancer Maze with host Grace Galler will help you with the facts, planning, and grief experienced with different forms and stages of cancer. Listen every Friday at 12 noon U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Why do people behave the way they do? The study of human behavior is one of the most interesting facets of life. Human behavior gets played out in a limitless number of ways. Now, there's a radio program that explains the why and the how of what we do. Human Behavior, What a Trip, is hosted by Dr. Jonathan Brower and will include interesting guests as well as call interaction from people like you. Let's have fun with this together. Listen every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Vital Lessons with Amy Dufresne. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You can also send an email to info@amydufresne.com. Now, back to Vital Lessons, feeding your body, mind, and soul.
Welcome back to Vital Lessons. I'm Amy Dufresne, and I'm here chatting with Melissa Galt about my book, Keep Going, From Grief to Growth. And before we headed to a break, Melissa, we were talking about what I learned from Ben and what qualities I've kind of taken on after his absence. So just to kind of recap, one was endurance and how to keep going in life, even when things don't turn out how you expected, and really living life on your terms and following your passions. I think that's so important. And gosh, it took so long to get. Did you ever? I'm not the only one, right?
No, you're not the only one at all. I mean, I regularly address audiences on how to stop being an imposter in someone else's dream.
Yes.
Because many of us start out and we don't really know what we want to do. So we follow somebody else's dream for us. And it's a good dream. I mean, It might be our parents' dream for us, our spouse's dream for us, our friend's dream, a boss's dream, but it's not our dream. And I think Ben did such a delicious thing for you by constantly encouraging you to pursue your dreams, your passions, and to become your own person.
That's so true. And he was he was his own character. I mean, you see the shoes that are on the cover of the book that he had designed. He loved crazy shoes. You know, there weren't a lot of people in England that were wearing shoes like that. He had his own sense of style, and he owned it. And, you know, even when he was criticized for it, he was like, well, you know, that's me. I'm not going to change it. So from that, I learned, you know, it's okay. I used to think, oh, he's like that, you know, he's perfect, and he's okay. Like, but that's not me. Like, I need to look at someone else. Like, I don't have that quality. But we all have that quality.
We
just need to own it.
It's about being willing to have a point of view and to stop people-pleasing.
Yes.
And he clearly, from what you shared, had that. He had that willingness to stand in that space of who he is, regardless of what other people thought.
Mm-hmm. And I had such a big breakthrough this year. A few weeks ago, I met with a friend of a friend who wanted to have a coffee. And we met, and she said, you know, Amy, I have a confession to make, and I really need to get this off my chest, and I really need to confess this to you. Do you mind? And I was like, okay. And she said, when I first met you, I didn't really like you. And I was like, okay. And she said, I just thought you were positive, and you were too positive, and maybe it was a little bit fake. Mm. But now, you know, now I realize that, you know, you were actually being real, and that's just who you are, and I can see, you know, how that is beneficial, and And I said, okay. And she said, well, I'm really, really sorry that I didn't like her. And I said, what you think of me has nothing to do with me. I'm like, I didn't change. I'm like, you just changed your mind. Mm-hmm. Like, it has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. But I felt that. Like, I really didn't feel, you know, if that would have happened to me a year ago, 2 years ago, I would have been like, well, I didn't like you either. You were a little too negative. You know, I would have, like, got my back out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, well, whatever. Like, you know, but saying, oh, well, it doesn't matter, but really it would have mattered. And this was like, there was just nothing. There was no attachment to it. I was like, well, you know, okay. Like, you changed your mind. It has nothing to do with me. Yeah. Your opinion of me has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, it goes back to that wonderful Wayne Dyer quote, what you think of me is none of my business.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard to live that way. I mean, it's so necessary and so wonderful when you can live that way. But it's so hard because most of us were not taught to do that. Most of us have lifetimes of lessons following people who are, watch your step, make sure you don't ruffle feathers, make sure everybody likes you, go with the flow, and you become generic.
Yeah.
And you stop being that wonderful rocky road with marshmallows and nut bits.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you start losing yourself and losing your identity, and you're like, who am I? So that's one thing that the book can help people. Someone got in touch with me recently saying, thank you, because I can now be me. Like, it's okay to be me. And, you know, I've had clients who said, you know, I'm just me being me, and I love it. Like, thank you. And that's the biggest thing. If you can just be you, like, that's it. That's what we're here for. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's the hardest thing any of us ever do. Now, here's the question for you. Did the person who said all this to you, has she read the book?
She had bought the book at that time. But she hadn't started reading it. I'm like, oh, you're in for a surprise.
she'll get it a lot more once she reads the book. So speaking of that, where is the best place to get a copy of Keep Going?
The best place is Amazon, or it's also available at Balboa Press, which is the publisher. So balboapress.com. I mean, Amazon, everyone uses Amazon. I use Amazon to get my personal books. So it's on amazon.com. It's in three formats. So what I recommend is if you are getting it as a gift for someone, and I know a lot of people who have bought them from me and then have given them as a gift for someone who's a little lost or they've lost someone, I would recommend the hardcover. It looks nicer for a gift. It has some extra endorsements, one from Meadow Lynn. And it just, if someone who is unfamiliar with the book, it kind of opens it up and her endorsement is there, kind of inviting her in, and because it shares Meadow's experience of it. So, and she had a beautiful endorsement of it. So, I would recommend that if you're getting it as a gift. If you're going on holiday and you want to take a book, or going on vacation and you want to take a book with you, and you're kind of one of those, like, I'm just going to shove it in my bag, or I'm going to read it on the beach or somewhere, but I want that actual tangible book, I'd recommend the soft cover. And it's also available on Kindle. So, and the price is really right on Kindle as well. We kept it really affordable. So, and I'm not sure how long we'll be keeping it at that price. So, Kindle is available, and I mean, then you can take it with you anywhere. I haven't gotten a Kindle yet, but people are raving about the Kindles. I like an actual tangible book, but I might switch over. So if you've already switched over, if you're looking to switch over on Kindle, it's also available on Kindle. I wanted to make it available across the market. So,
and if somebody wants a copy and get your autograph, how can they do that?
You can email me at info@amydufresne.com. And, or I think that's actually, you can email me through the show as well. But, yeah, absolutely. I would love to send you a signed copy.
Now, are you going to be doing any workshops or webinars based on the book? Because it's such a wealth of material and an incredible learning opportunity to grow your life. Mm. And I know that there's a hunger in the market for that. Have you got any plans for that, Amy?
I do. I'm going to run a few free teleclasses probably in February. So if you're interested in something like that, definitely join the Keep Going Movement. Join that community at thekeepgoingmovement.com, and you'll get details about that once it's up and running. I will be doing classes around it. I'm doing some speaking events here in Richmond in the coming year. Also in Charlotte. And Charlotte is North Carolina, yes? I'm getting my Carolinas all mixed up.
No, Charlotte's North Carolina.
North Carolina. Okay, I'm right. I'll be doing one in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then possibly Pittsburgh, in a farm near Pittsburgh. So, again, if you're interested in any of that, definitely join the movement at thekeepgoingmovement.com, and you'll be updated with all the latest events and so forth. But, yeah, there's a lot. I'm going to create a workbook as well. Maybe a video series. Maybe. We'll see.
Come on now. You're good on video. I've seen you on video.
I know. People are like, your videos are so funny.
Yeah, they are. They're wonderfully captivating.
Well, maybe we'll do some video then. I did get a new iPhone recently, so, you know, I hear the video is good on that. We'll see if we can do it on that.
Yeah, I mean, really, truly, because the thing is, now you've teased us with more of Amy, and you're hesitant on giving us the rest of Amy. You can't
pull
yourself out there. We want all of you, Amy. We absolutely do.
All right. No, video would be fun. Video would be really fun. So, all right, I'll put down the list of the video. I'm not sure exactly when, but it will be in the new year.
Are you going to do any speaking or events in England with the book?
I will be. That's a really good question. I will be. The dates are to be announced of that as well. But I can't wait. I can't wait to go back to England. It feels like coming home and really honoring Ben and tributing and giving the tribute to him. I mean, he's still with me all the time on this journey. And I'm so grateful. I told his mom, I'm like, you know, he's with me all the time. Like, I take the shoes to the events, you know, the Keep Going shoes that are on the book. They are my little prop for the talks. And it's just a lot of fun. I mean, that's what he taught me. He taught me how to have fun. Mm-hmm. And I think I was just living life before and living a life of obligation and expectation. And now I'm just having fun. And it's just great.
You open the book with meeting him and telling him that you think New York is boring.
Exactly. I couldn't even see New York was fun.
No, so. I mean, that was really funny. So, all right, what are your vital lessons since you've been hosting this wonderful radio show for the last 13 weeks or 12 weeks anyway, because this is week 13. What are your vital lessons?
Well, we're coming close to the close, so I'm going to quickly go over this. My one vital lesson that I would like to leave you with is to practice self-kindness. That is a vital lesson. Where are you at this moment? Not where you think you should be or where you think you need to be or where someone else expects you to be. Be kind to yourself and realize where you want to be and honor that space. Honor that space. And I'm honoring the space by actually realizing, hey, I did a lot this year. I'm so proud of myself. I am going to give myself a vacation because that is what my body needs. That's what my brain needs. And we were going to come back in 2014 and rock the year out.
Excellent.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Oh, so thank you, Melissa. Thank you so much for taking this time to chat with me today.
This has been a total treat. My pleasure entirely.
Oh, my pleasure connecting with you always. Thank you for your assistance and your guidance to help me to keep going.
Well, I look forward to a lot more, and I would encourage everyone, get a copy of Keep Going because it will keep you going.
Oh, thank you so much. And I highly recommend Melissa, if you want to keep going in your business, check out Melissa at melissagault.com. That's G-A-L-T, melissagault.com. So as we close out the show, my deepest gratitude to you for listening and taking the time to join me with today's vital lessons. Thanks so much also to Voice America for having me, and my engineers, Joel and Michael, and for my executive producer, Karen Dana, who is awesome. You can share what vital lesson you learned on today's show on my Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/keepgoingmovement. Again, keeping up to date on when we go live next and all the more great content, and I guess those videos now that I have agreed to that, at thekeepgoingmovement.com. I wish you all the best this holiday season, and may your new year be filled with an abundance of joy, health, and happiness. Until next time, keep going. The life you crave is closer than you think.
Thank you again for tuning in to Vital Lessons. Please join Amy Dufresne again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Until next time, keep going. The life you crave is closer than you think.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.